friend of mine from Northern Ireland who lives in Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario, went with me on a road trip once when I was preaching, and on the Sunday night that we were at this assembly, I said to him, Patrick Flynn, very Irish name, I said, Patrick, I said, give a little word of testimony tonight before I preach. And so Patrick agreed to do that, so he came to the platform that night and he said, I'd like to tell you how the Lord possessed me. Now, I never heard it quite put that way before, but you sang that tonight. It's right in your hymn. My life possessing, my service blessing. We hear about demon possession. Well, this is divine possession. The Lord possesses us, of course, bought us with a price. I was raised in a small town in North Mississippi. Anything in Mississippi is south, but there is a north part of Mississippi, and I was raised in the north part of that state. The original town was built on the river, and later, when the rail came through, they moved the town about 4 miles to put it on the route with the train, and there's a train track that runs right through the middle of that little town of about 1500 in Mississippi, named Sardis, Mississippi. Biblical name. Not necessarily a nice one, but a biblical name. And that train used to run quite often on those tracks, and they didn't have the big arms that come down and keep you from crossing, but they had the flashing lights and the bells. Maybe you've seen some of that. When you get off this island, you get on somewhere where there's train tracks. You've seen that. When the train would come, the lights would flash and the bells would ring, and people were to stop. They were to heed the warning. Of course, you live there, and you know the schedule a bit, and people get used to crossing those tracks. One day at noon, a young man who worked in the bank's on one side of the tracks, his home is on the other side of the tracks, and day after day, week after week, month after month, he goes home for lunch. Just a young man, he belonged to the Baptist church there in Sardis, was a believer, knew the Lord. He ran right in front of a train that day. Lights were flashing. The bells were ringing, and he was preoccupied. He didn't see the lights, and he didn't hear the bells. And the impact, when the train hit him, the impact took his car 200 yards down the track. His wife heard the noise. They lived beside the track. She came out of her front door to see what the noise was, to see his car in a tangled, mangled mess. He was killed instantly in that wreck that day because he did not heed the warning. He got used to it. It was common. He heard it every day, and he did not pay close attention. Take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to Hebrews chapter 2. Book of Hebrews, chapter 2. God waves some warning flags. Bells go off. Caution lights are flashing. And we read it sometime as though it were so common that we totally miss it. We've read it so many times, we've heard it so many times that doesn't warn us anymore. It doesn't bother us anymore to hear it. Let me tell you, the devil has a plan. Please listen. He is very active. His plan is that he wants to occupy us with the things of this world to the point that the things of the Lord will become vague or hard to remember. I remember one Saturday night, I watched a movie, innocent enough movie, Moby Dick. He'd like that. You're all around the sea here. Moby Dick. Gregory Peck played Captain Ahab in that movie, and it was quite a movie if you've ever seen it. But you know, the next morning I went to remember the Lord, all I could remember was Moby Dick. It's what the devil would like, you know. He'd like for us to get so preoccupied with the things of the world that the things of the Lord are hard to remember. He wants us to forget how precious the Savior is. Doesn't want us to share him, of course, with anyone. I don't know how many people we may have talked to today, but how many did we actually share Christ with in some way? Oh, maybe you didn't get a chance to give him the whole gospel. That's okay. But in some way, speak well of the Master. He wants us to quit trying to remember Bible verses and scriptural truth. I bet it hadn't been that long ago that somebody said to you, I just can't remember like I used to. I can't remember Bible verses. I don't believe that. I'm sorry. You got to tell somebody else that. Don't tell me that, because I don't believe that. I just can't remember those Bible verses. Yes, you can. You just don't want to. I'm sorry. I know. Listen, I don't remember things like I used to either, but everybody in here can remember. You can memorize one Bible verse this year. Amen? This year? This year. One Bible verse. I think everybody in here could memorize one Bible verse this year. I don't know how long, you could get the longest verse in the Bible. I still think you could memorize one Bible verse this year. Man, you guys are going to have to do better than that. You got to worry. What's your phone number? What's your address? What's your bank account number? I bet you know those things. You can learn it if you want to. We've become lazy, folks. We have become lazy. And the devil is laughing at us. He wants us to forget how important it is to really pay close attention to the Word of God. Now, let me read for you. You watch your Bibles, chapter 2, verse 1, book of Hebrews. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. Why? Lest at any time we should let them slip. If you know anything at all about the book of Hebrews, you'll know that you can put one great theme over the book of Hebrews. Jesus is better. He's superior to anything that ever was, is, or is to come. Better than the Old Testament, better than the law, better than angels, better than Moses, better than the sacrifice, better than the priest. He's better. Jesus is superior. So in the context of chapter 2, verse 1, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard concerning Christ, concerning His Word. Why? Lest at any time we should let them slip. The word earnest heed means pay close attention, deep concern. You know, the Lord Jesus gives the parable of the sower in Luke chapter 8. Read verse 18 sometime, you get the punchline. You get the key that unlocks the parable. You know what the key is? Take heed how you hear. How do you hear? What do you do with what you hear? Take heed. And so he says, we ought to give the more earnest heed. We ought to have a reverence, an appreciation, a deep concern. Pay close attention to the things that we have heard. Most of us have heard enough Bible, read enough Bible, studied enough Bible, heard enough sermons, we could close the book and never open it again. And have enough stuff to do for the rest of our life if we have paid close attention to the things that we have heard. It's not more Bible knowledge that we need. It's doing something with what we have, brothers and sisters. Lest at any time, I suppose that means lest at any time. It can happen here. It can happen at work. It can happen tonight. It can happen tomorrow. It can happen at any time. What? That they should slip. Now, if you have a middle reference in your Bible or a little study notes, footnotes or something in your Bible, you'll notice that that phrase, let them slip, lest at any time we should let them slip, could be translated like this, run out as a leaking vessel. That's the Greek interpretation or definition of that phrase, run out as a leaking vessel. If I said to you, take this bucket and go down to the creek and get me some water, and I gave you a bucket and it had a hole in it about that big, you'd look at me like, well, I couldn't even get back to the house with a bucket full of water. It'd all run out before I'd get back. Well, what if I gave you a bucket and it was just a little rusty, you know, on the bottom, just, you know, and it wouldn't run out, but it just dripped. That's all. Just dripped. If you got that bucket and you filled it with water, you set it on a bench or you hung it on a nail by the barn and you just let it sit there, you know what would happen? It'd run out. Just one drip at a time. Maybe you wouldn't really notice it. Maybe you wouldn't even think much about it, but you go back to get it and it's empty. I had a car one time. I really didn't like that car for one main reason. Whenever the gauge said empty, it was out. I don't like that. I like it when it says empty, you can go somewhere. You know, you've still got, you know, you like a little backup. Always have backup, you know. There's a lot of Christians running on empty, folks. It's just dripped out. It's just leaked out. No big deal. No big sin. No big turning away. No big problem. Just a little bit at a time. Drip, drip, drip. Were there things in your life you used to do you don't do today? Used to read more, pray more, witness more? What's wrong? What happened? What happened? I'm going to suggest that we have to maintain that. That our lives have to be maintained. And if we do not make measures, listen, I don't know anything about fishing in these boats, but I'll tell you one thing you do in the off season, and I see that, you work on them. You maintain them. It's called preventative maintenance. The last thing you want to happen to your boat when you go out there to catch fish is for that thing to break down when you're out there, because that's where you make your money. You go out to work. You don't want to be repairing your boat. You repair your boat now. You keep it up. You do preventative maintenance. Why don't Christians do preventative maintenance? Why don't they keep up their lives, their spiritual walk with Christ, to think that we could come here on Sunday and Tuesday or maybe even Thursday and get a little jab, a little injection, and we're going to be okay? You know, listen, it's an everyday affair. Now, I'm going to give you some, in the next few minutes, I'm going to give you some ways that you can work on that, so that that doesn't happen to you. Let's go to James chapter 1. Book of James, just next book over in your Bible. Chapter 1. Let me give you some ways which you can make sure that the things that you have heard will not leak out of your life to the point that they cannot be used. James chapter 1, let me read in verse 22. It's an old text. You probably know everything about it, but let me make a few comments. Verse 22, chapter 1. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Now watch the comparison. For if a man be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he's like a man beholding his natural face in a glass or a mirror. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. It's an easy text, really, to understand. It says that what we hear, we must practice. What we know to be true, we must live out in our lives, not just hearers only. Did you ever wonder, though, why he compared it to looking? How can hearing be compared to looking? He says, a man that just hears and doesn't do is like a man that looks in a mirror and sees himself and he goes away and he forgets what he saw. I'm going to suppose that every one of you did at least one look in the mirror before you left home tonight. Some of you probably looked two or three times, you know. Make sure. Okay. Yeah. Right. Okay. Did I shave? Did I put this on? Did I, you know, ready? And I'm going out. What? Just a minute. One more time. You know, I'm just going to get that look. See? How is that compared? What? How could looking be compared with hearing? It goes like this. You should have been here for that message. Oh, you should have heard. I tell you, I've never heard anything like that. I mean, you could hear a pin drop. What was it? What was the text? Well, I'm telling you, I've never heard a man speak like that before. I mean, the whole thing was just incredible. It so blessed my heart. What did he say? What was his text? Well, I can't quite remember, but I'm telling you, it was really something. Forgot. You can sit in a meeting and be moved. You can sit in a meeting and the Spirit of God will tug at your heart, and you know it. When you leave that meeting, if you don't do anything about it, it's just like looking in a mirror. By the time you get to the meeting, from looking in that mirror at home, and you come to the meeting, you kind of forget what you look like. Whether it was good or whether it was bad, you can be in a meeting and be convicted. You can be in a meeting and be challenged. You can be in a meeting and be blessed to your soul. And if you don't take that out and put it into practice every day, you are going to forget it, and it's going to be gone. It's going to drip out just like that. Hebrews chapter 5, just back one book. Hebrews chapter 5. Reading in verse 11. 5 and 11. Of whom we have many things to say, and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by, you ought to mark this now, reason of use, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Sometimes into a family a child is born that is handicapped. And when they should be walking, they can't walk. And when they should be talking, they can't talk. And they're slower. And sometimes they don't ever fully develop. And we look at that, and our heart goes out to those dear ones and to that dear soul. And there's something moving about it. We have compassion. One thing we'd all agree with, it's not normal. It didn't develop properly. Something happened. Why is it when that happens spiritually, we think so little about it? If you're here and you've been saved 6 months, you ought to know some Bible verses by now. If you've been saved 6 years, you ought to have the basics down pat. If you've been saved 60 years, God bless you. What a life. The problem was these people had been saved long enough to be teachers and they couldn't teach. You know why? They didn't practice. They weren't doers. They were just hearers and they become dull hearers. Couldn't even hear good anymore. At one time they could hear good. Now they can't hear good. Look at the punchline right here in verse 14. But strong meat belongs to them of full age, even those who by reason of use. You see that? We have a little cliche. We say, you got to use it or you lose it. It'll drip out. It's gone. Not tonight. It won't all run out tonight. Just tomorrow. And just the next day. And just the next day. You see, they had been saved long enough when for the time you ought to be. That's what the scriptures say. They've been saved long enough to be mature Christians. It's okay to be a baby Christian as long as you're a baby. Just keep growing. But it's terrible if you're a baby Christian and you're 6 years old in the Lord. That's bad. You didn't develop normally. Something's wrong spiritually with you. If you're 10 years old in the Lord and you're not walking, you're not a mature Christian, something is wrong with you. That is not normal. But it's become normal. You know what we say? Oh, they've only been saved 10 years. What? What do you expect a child physically 10 years old to do? What do you expect a child of God spiritually 10 years old to do? Come on. Something's really wrong with our evaluation system. And so, you have need to be taught again. You're unskillful. Listen, if you have to say to somebody, you think this would be okay? You think that would be okay? I wonder if this is right or if that's right. You're not able to take the word of God yet. Because it says that when you take a truth and you practice that truth, you get discernment. Look at it in verse 14. By reason of use have their senses exercised to discern. That's the way you get discernment. By taking a Bible truth and practicing that. Using that in your life. Implementing that truth into your life. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Let me read in verse 19. Matthew 6 and verse 19. The Lord Jesus says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust does corrupt, or where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust does corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, the whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? There's a biblical principle in this passage. And it goes like this. If you don't practice what you know to be true, you lose the ability to discern that truth. Let me show you. Verse 22, it says, the light of the body is the eye. If the eye is single, that is, if it's healthy, if it's working properly, if when you look you can see, it fills the whole body with light. But if, in verse 23, the eye is evil, that is, if it's unhealthy, if it's something wrong with it, the whole body shall be full of darkness. And then he makes this comparison. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness. Now he makes the spiritual comparison. He takes from the physical to the spiritual. Now, light in the scriptures stands for God is light, stands for God, stands for right, stands for righteousness, stands for truth. Darkness in the Bible, well, there is no darkness in God. It stands for evil, for wrong, for sin, for unrighteousness. With light, I evaluate life. And if I don't have the truth to evaluate life, I evaluate life in my own bias, prejudice, sinful, evil life. I evaluate life in darkness instead of light. I don't get the right answers. But if I have light, and I don't practice that light, and that light, that truth, that doctrine, that whatever it is that I have, is not practiced in my life, it becomes dark. I can't see good. I can't discern it anymore. I can't appreciate it anymore. Let me give you an example. He said in verse 19 and 20, he talked about laying up treasures on earth and laying up treasures in heaven. Let's do a little valuation. Let's say, on a list over here, let's say, this is everything that I can get on earth. Okay? Lay up all these treasures on earth. Next thing you know, I'm worried about them. Somebody gonna get them. Somebody might break into my house. I might lose it. It might break. A thousand things I'm worried to death about. He said, no, don't lay up treasures in heaven. Lay up treasures on earth. Lay up treasures in heaven over here. And nobody can steal it. And you can't lose it. And it's eternal. And we'd say, I know that. True. Got it. Down pat. Amen. We know that truth. What if I don't practice it? What if I don't practice it? What if my whole life is accumulating over here? I lose the ability to discern that truth. Why? Anybody that's laying up treasures over here and not laying up treasures in heaven, you ask them about it, and you know what they're going to say? They're going to have a real good reason for that. They're going to have some great excuse for that. They're going to have some alibi for that. They're going to have some justifiable reason for that. Because they've lost the ability to discern the principle of that truth. Because they're not practicing it in their life. Take New Testament church principles. If we don't practice New Testament church principles, and somebody says to me, how come you women don't wear head coverings here? We say, well, you know, we got some reason for it. How come you don't have plurality of leadership here anymore? Well, you know, it's like this and like that and like that. If we know a truth, it's in the Bible, we see it, we understand it, and we do not practice it, you will lose the ability to discern that truth. And the light will become darkness, and Jesus said, how great is that darkness? I suppose the bottom line for this passage here is this. Do you know what you should do? Are you doing it? If you are not doing it, I will be a prophet tonight. That truth that you know that you're not practicing tonight, it's on its way out. It's going. And you're going to lose it. And the light is going to be darkness. And how great will that darkness be for you? One more, John 13. John chapter 13. You know the passage well. Will not take time because of time. The Lord Jesus is washing the disciples' feet. What a beautiful picture of servanthood and humility. He came to minister, not to be ministered to, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. He does all that to them, and at the end he makes this statement, verse 14. Verse 14, John chapter 13. The Lord Jesus said, if I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. You know, the Nike company doesn't have it all wrong, you know. Just do it. Just do it. We need to do it. He doesn't say, happy are ye if you know these things. He said, happy are ye if you do these things. Let me tell you tonight, all of us who've had the privilege of being raised in a New Testament church, under the expositional teaching of the Word of God, have a great responsibility, not just to be a hearer. If you're moved in this meeting tonight, it didn't make any difference. You leave that meeting, you'll forget it unless you go do it. If God has spoken to you tonight, you must go home and do it. You've got to. If not, you'll become dull of hearing. You'll go backwards instead of forwards. You'll need somebody else to teach you when you ought to be teachers. You won't have any ability to discern Bible truth. You'll always be asking someone. And the light, the truth of God's Word, will become dark. And you won't be a happy Christian. You won't be. Because happiness is in doing. Now, let's go back just quickly to Hebrews chapter 2, and I'll be through. Hebrews chapter 2. You say, well, what a shame if that should ever happen to anybody. Yes, it would be a shame. Verse 1 says, lest at any time we should let them slip. Verse 2 says, for if the word spoken by angels was steadfast and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, notice, how shall, the writer includes himself, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Dear friend, tonight let me say two things in closing. Number one is this. The little term in verse 1 is let them slip. Nobody stole it. You let it go. You slacked off. You didn't maintain. You let it slip. Consciously, you know it right now. If there's an area in your life, you know it. God deals with you. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. And you're letting, do something about it. Don't just keep letting it slip. Number two, and my closing remark is, verse 3, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? I often preach the gospel from that passage, you know. But every one of us will give an account. How will you escape that day if you neglect so great salvation? Oh, I'm not talking about being saved. If you need to get saved, well, please get saved. But most of you to hear tonight say you're a Christian. But you're still going to have to stand before the Lord. How will you escape that day of giving the account of an empty bucket? I mean, a guy goes before the Lord that day and he's got his bucket, you know, and he's going to give an account of the things done. He says, here it is. And the Lord says, there's nothing in there. And you look as though you were surprised. What? Nothing? You see what happened? Just leaked out. No preventative maintenance. No working on it. How will you escape if you neglect living for the Lord Jesus, practicing Bible truth, reading, memorizing, praying, living? You won't. You'll have an empty bucket in that day. May the Lord help us to have full buckets. Practicing the truth, discernment, happiness, joy. It comes from doing. Be doers and not just hearers. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for reminding us of these truths. Help us to go out of here tonight and do these truths. In Jesus' name.